Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sarah Bartlett, I'm bored today. My support for Joe Flacco, strong.
That's what I like to hear.
Kev, absolutely. Sarah, it's the way it should be. What, the Ravens are 2-1?
They are.
The Steelers are 1-2.
Yeah, a couple of bad calls.
There's been nothing in Steeler games to complain about call-wise.
Oh, no, I was just talking about the defense.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I was talking with Tom Bradley the other day about Dick LeBeau. So you think it's the scheme, do you?
Scheme, personnel, defense as a whole. I mean, it's hard to really go against an NFL Hall of Famer, but this has not been a stellar year for Steeler defense.
What part of the scheme would you change?
If I knew that, I would be helping Dick LeBeau.
Now you see, Sarah, how quickly you can confuse him.
Listen, I think a lot of the problem is in the secondary, and I think we don't realize how much, as Steeler fans, how much Troy Polamalu brings to the secondary and how he is missed when he's not there.
Everybody knows that. He is the X factor in every game he plays in. The difference is, in the one game he played this year, he didn't have Brian Clark, which meant Polamalu had to lay back more than he wants to and play actually a true safety spot. With Ryan Clark there, he can rove a little bit more. And as a rover, he has more freedom to make plays and freelance a lot more. Polamalu's big problem in his career is he has spent, it seems, nearly a third of his career on the bench watching. He has to lead the league in being on the injury list in a 11-12-year career. Every time I turn around, he's not available.
Well, I think you were absolutely right. I mean, the first game, you know, we forget how much Clark covers for what Troy Polamalu can do, and he covers a lot of the ground that Polamalu leaves open because he knows what Troy's going to do defensively. Then the last couple of games has been the other way around. You know, Troy's not there, so the defense looks a little bit different without him in it.
So you say schematically, they're making mistakes.
I think in the secondary, they're not nearly as strong in the first three games of the season because they have not had the personnel that they're used to having in there.
Oh, so it's not the scheme.
No, I don't necessarily think it's a problem with the scheme. I think it's a big problem with the fact that they just haven't had a steady dose of the right personnel.
Right. Ike Taylor's fine. Clark missed the first game. They get him back, but they lose Polamalu. They haven't had Harrison. They've had issues so far.
I mean, Harrison adds a lot in that linebacking core to make quarterbacks and running backs concerned. I mean, and that's, I think, a missing link up front. And like I said, most of it, I think the problem is in the secondary because of the player personnel changes. But I think you're right. Harrison is a big difference in the run game, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no question. No question. And, you know, and plus when the guys are going to the end zone, they prefer to go helmet to helmet.
Not according to the replacement officials.
And then they get fined, and then you get mad they get fined. Why do you get mad they get fined later?
I don't know. I just have a problem. If you have to look at it 3 days later and then decide it's a penalty, but it wasn't a penalty when it happened, I don't understand that.
First of all, okay, can you have instant replay when it comes to penalties?
Absolutely not. The game will be a crushing halt.
Well, you can't anyway. You cannot replay a penalty, okay? Right? So since you can't replay a penalty, you can't get a second look at it. But when it comes time to finding somebody because they crossed the line of football etiquette, you're allowed to find them.
Well, let's look at Harrison more specifically, because he's probably well-known for getting fined more often than any other defensive player in the NFL. Here's a guy that was fined lots of times without a penalty flag being thrown as well.
Right, and they're deemed later after looking at it that it's a dangerous play. They're trying, you know, when you find somebody, you're not just fining the individual. You are sending a message to everybody else. This isn't going to be tolerated.
But my question is, do you consider him a dirty player?
Well, I think he plays hard. I don't think he's a dirty player. You know, for the most part. I mean, there's some plays where I looked at and thought, a little extra oomph in there? Yeah. But for the most part, no.
All right, what about a guy like
Hines? Hard.
What about a guy like Hines Ward, who was one of the best wide receiver blockers in history?
Is he a dirty player?
You talk to some of the cornerbacks he blocked, you'd think so.
Yeah, but that's just whining, moaning, and complaining. Dirty is leading with the helmet. Dirty is doing something where you're on the. If you do that, the potential to injure somebody is at hand. Hines Ward didn't do a single thing that potentially injured anybody. He didn't crack back. He didn't do any of that stuff. Okay? He blocked. Big difference. You know, to me, dirty play is crossing the line where suddenly someone's health and well-being comes into issue. That's what I think. And those are finalable offenses. I mean, Kyle Shanahan gets fined after the fact $25,000 for chasing an official into the runway. Bill Belichick gets fined $50,000 for grabbing the shirt of a referee. John Fox argues on the field. Okay, he's not called for unsportsmanlike conduct. Still is fined $30,000. Jack Del Rio is not called for unsportsmanlike conduct, yet he's fined $25,000. They weren't penalized.
That's a good point, and I really hadn't looked at it that way, but I just want to see, I'd like to see the NFL be consistent with that fine and or the fine after the fact. I think there's a lot of plays, especially last year, that went not fined for one reason or another, but yet were personal fouls on the field.
Well, this was a personal foul, okay? He hit him in the head with the helmet. He knocked him out. And everybody saw it.
I don't disagree. I think it should have been a penalty at the time. I saw it at the time, and I wondered. I was trying to think how it was not a penalty. And you and I talked about this the other day. I said I thought that because of the way Hayward Bay went up and kind of leaned to get the football, he kind of helped the situation out. But you said you just lead with your helmet no matter what. It's a penalty.
Right. And penalty or not, a finable offense. He was going to get fined. If a penalty was called, he was going to get fined $21,000. Okay? Okay? If the penalty was called, he was going to get the penalty and $21,000 poor. He was fined $21,000 after the fact. The league can still do something about that to police the game, to send messages not just to Ryan Monday, but to all players in that particular position. You do this, you're going to be light in the wallet.
But Ryan Mundy and
finds.
No, I was just gonna say, but Ryan Mundy in that hit is not the difference of giving up 20 and 30 points a game, though. That's the big problem with the Steelers' defense.
Oh no, it's not. But he's fined because he's not just fined because they're trying to tell Sam Shields, "You do that, you'll get fined." They're trying to tell Charles Woodson, "You do that, you'll get fined." You know, you're trying to tell other defensive backs or defenders that if you do that and leave with the helmet, okay. I mean, you look at, like, Temple Penn State. I mean, you want to talk about a misplay. Temple player hits Kyle Carter helmet to helmet at the one-yard line. No call. I mean, the reason you don't want helmet to helmet is that's as dangerous a play as there is in the game. You know, with the NFL putting heavy emphasis on concussions and trying to prevent them wherever possible, or taking better care of the players so they don't, you know, so that they don't risk a severe injury or concussions, you have to regulate. If it's not regulated on the field because they missed it or blew it, just sit there as a league and say, you got away with it, so we can't fine you. No, can't do that. He did it. Regardless of whether it's called or not, he did it. He gets fined. Mike Wallace is the guy laying on the field, and there's no call. What are you saying?
I'm probably screaming for a penalty. You're right. I probably am.
Now, are you screaming that, you know, no penalty call? Are you then screaming, they better fine him?
Honestly, no. I want to see the penalty on the field. I don't want to see the fine later. The fine doesn't do anything as far as I'm concerned as a fan.
That's an officiating issue, okay? Beyond being an officiating issue, it's the league's responsibility to not only send a message to the player, but to all other players that line was crossed. And if you cross that line, you're going to be fined too. It's not just a specific fine to the player, it's to everybody else. I think they were hoping with John Fox and with Jack Del Rio that the combination of $55,000 worth of fines would have sent a message to all the other coaches that, look, don't cross the line with the officials, we'll fine you. That was the intent of it. It wasn't just to fine John Fox and Jack Del Rio. He was trying to tell all the other coaches, look, you cross the line, you're going to get fined. Don't cross the line.
Well, let me take this.
Bill Belichick.
Go ahead, finish that thought.
No, Bill Belichick and Kyle Shanahan were deemed to have then crossed the line after this happened.
All right, let me take this in a slightly different direction. The quarterback. Am I interpreting this correct that the quarterback, obviously, when he slides, he's down right that moment. You can't touch him. But yet, when any other player slides, they're not down. They can get back up and run.
Right.
Why have the double standard there just because he's a quarterback?
Because quarterback wears a different set of shoulder pads and wears a different set of thigh and knee pads and hip pads than everybody else because they need to throw the football.
See, I didn't realize they had a different set of pads in at that level.
Sure they do. You think Roethlisberger's wearing the same pads as Willie Colon?
Well, I know he's wearing a rib jacket more than some of the other players are wearing.
Right? I mean, the other part, too, is, look, let's be realistic here. The position on the field that's the most valuable position on the field is quarterback. Like it or not, they get out and exposed, and let's face it, you do have people aching to get a shot at them because they know that's the one person they need to put out of the game. Okay? That's what they're trying to avoid. Nonsense like that where headhunting occurs.
Oh, and I agree.
That's what they're trying to do.
And that's obvious that it happens. When you see a quarterback out in the open, every defensive player, no matter what level, sees an opportunity to make a big play.
I mean, it's the bottom line. Now, are guys such as Michael Vick, Robert Griffin III probably exposed to more hits? Yeah, because they don't do a lot of hook sliding stuff. And they're also so good at what they do, it's like you're trying to catch them all the time. But quarterbacks, you're trying to market your product. The product is not marketed around T.J. Yates. Okay, the product is marketed around Andrew Luck, Robert Griffin III, Tom Brady, Drew Brees, and so forth. What, you want Drew Brees out there you know, having to, quote, cross the line of scrimmage, you want him to be like a running back or any other football player? I mean, I'm talking common sense-wise.
But I'm turning it the other way. If you have the hook slide rule for quarterbacks, you know, why not have that? Anybody that slides has that opportunity not to get contact. I don't know why you would want to do that if you were running back, but...
Right. But you have exceptions in everything. In college football, why is it on a field goal or an extra point the ball's not down?
Oh, wait, explain that one to me again. Say that again.
The holder has his knee on the ground when he catches the snap.
Yeah.
Why isn't the ball automatically down?
That's a great... Yeah, there you go. That's a good point. I never looked at it that way, but that's a great point.
You have an exception to the rule there because of what takes place. Well, this is an exception to the rule when it comes to the quarterback because you're trying to protect a vulnerable position. Okay, as opposed to a running back. Hey, a running back and hook slide, you still have to walk over and touch him and the play's over. So a quarterback can't hook slide, then all of a sudden nobody touches him, and then they get up and run. That's the other part, too. They're not allowed to do that. All right? They're not allowed to do that. Redmond, for the Steelers, can run hook slide, and if he's not touched, he can get up and go. Quarterback hook slides, the play's dead. They cannot get up and go. That's the difference. It's just an exception to the rule because of the position being played on the field. And it follows through where, for example, Michael Vick can't go get out of the pocket, hook slide at the 28-yard line. Everybody backs away. He goes, that wasn't touched. Get up, and he keeps running. No, not allowed. Okay, but LeSean McCoy gets it, and he hook slides, and nobody touches him. He can get up and keep going. So it's just an exception to the rule dealing with a specific position on the field, and they are restricted not just by the hook slide and the balls automatically being down, but they're also restricted by the fact that they can't fake you out and then get back up and go.
Although I have seen quarterbacks fake a slide and continue running.
Sure. Fine. And he comes up, then you belt him. Get clever with me, I'll take you out.
And then you get a $21,000 fine for a helmet-to-helmet contact.
If you don't hit him with the helmet, you just leave with the shoulder, you're fine. 1-800-795-9565 on the Lenape Solar Hotline. Go to lenapesolar.com. We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK after this.
Business owners, listen up. Reducing your electric bill goes hand in hand with increasing your energy efficiency. And now you can accomplish both with a hand from Lenape Solar. Your approved PPL ePower Trade Ally. Upgrading to energy efficient lighting in your facility has never been simpler or more affordable. And we do all the paperwork for you. The ePower Direct Discount Program for PPL customers pays you upfront for up to 75% of your project cost. And with the savings you'll clearly see, your project can easily pay for itself in less than a year. Lenape Solar is your trusted local source for energy efficiency and solar energy solutions. And now is the time to lower your business's electric bill and increase your bottom line forever. With a hand from Lenape Solar. This is Tanya Diddy, and I invite you to schedule your free, no-obligation energy analysis today by calling 570-286-1496, visiting Lenape Solar at 140 South 2nd Street in Sunbury, or find us online at lenapesolar.com.
Everything is on sale at Sunbury Motors Hyundai Lincoln. Everything is on sale.
And we mean everything.
New, used cars, trucks, vans, and SUVs. All priced at blowout pricing for this once-in-a-lifetime sale. Every one of the stylish, most fuel-efficient cars in America discounted to sell.
Sell. Sell.
Check it out. A 40 MPG Elantra, Elantra Coupe, and Elantra GT. All priced under 20 grand.
Not bad for being the 2012 North American Car of the Year.
Also, the Sporty Veloster, priced under 20 grand. And if that doesn't blow your mind, how about the beautiful Sonata, also available at around $20,000. And if you're looking for a used car, we've got hundreds to choose from, all at the lowest prices of the year. So if you're in the market or even thinking about it, there is only one place to stop. One place to stop. Sunbury Motors Hyundai Lincoln in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza. Because right now, everything is on sale. And we mean everything.
All right, I want everyone to visualize this. Kevin Herr moonwalking. close your eyes, except if you're in a car.
I can actually do that.
Close your eyes, attaboy. You can moonwalk?
I used to be able to moonwalk in the 80s.
Is Sarah there right now?
Yes.
Go ahead. Do a few steps for her. Get her evaluated.
I can't do it now. I don't have the right shoes on. You got a carpeted floor. I mean, you can't. You got to work at this. It's been 20 years since I did that.
Sarah, that's twice now, isn't it?
Right. We ask him to do something and can't quite do it on cue.
At the moment, just can't do it. I mean, can't produce at the moment. I mean, it's moonwalking. Okay? We didn't ask you to go out and build a new wing to the radio station. All right. Joseph has a question. The refs are a joke. The two who call the inner touchdownception should work at a 7-Eleven.
Inner touchdownception.
Yeah. And half, since the refs are half the regular refs on an intellectual basis. All right. Actually, one referee called it right. The one in the back of the end zone called it correctly. He called it an interception. Right. So actually, he got it right. And he was actually the most experienced guy in the group in terms of level. For a couple of years. The game's too fast for them. Has nothing to do with intellect. They've all had to learn new rules, which they're not used to. And, you know, so I'm not going to get on that part of it and get personal about it. I just, you know, obviously we know they have not done things right. And I believe you then on top of it have something else for us.
I have what?
You had a question about Paul Jones?
Oh, we'll get to that here after the news.
Sorry to confuse you. You're the one that brought it up in the break.
Good point.
Sarah, do you now understand why I have begged to have you be a bigger part of the show?
I think I do.
You have no idea. Suddenly, I know my blood pressure is so much lower now.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good to have you with us on this Wednesday. Steve Jones, Kevin Hurst, Sarah Bartlett. The A-team assembled here today. Don't forget about Mark Lawrence every morning and On the Mark. Dan Patrick during the day as well. Shikellamy football, Loyal Sock, Friday night, 7 o'clock. 4 o'clock for our West Coast listeners. And, of course, Penn State football Saturday, which will be a noon kick. And 10:30 will be the airtime for that. We now go to Mr. Herr, who has a question.
Well, we did have a question tweeted asking about Paul Jones' status.
Well, we'll find out. He was not at practice yesterday. Okay? And so we will see as to whether he is out there today. But if you're asking if he was there yesterday, no, he was not. Does that mean something significant? Potentially. Maybe insignificant? Possibly. So we'll just have to see. Obviously, we'll get a better read on that today. I'll have a better read on that 1 hour from now. And I'll then make a full report to you tomorrow. But thank you for the question. So maybe not the complete answer you were looking for, because I can't get, I don't know. I gave you the answer I know. Okay.
Could it be as simple as maybe not feeling well, so gave him the day off? I mean, does that happen?
Well, it could be treatment. Could be day off. Could be class. See, you know what I mean? There's a lot of reasons why that you won't see some out there. I mean, for these guys are going through treatment. Sometimes I'll walk into practice, they aren't even out there because they're doing treatment or rehab. Or there'll be a day. I'm trying to think what day it was. I'm trying to think what player was it. It may have been Sean Stanley. And I said, where's Sean Stanley? He said, I had a class. They had to make up. I said, okay. You know, I mean, so I you know what I mean? That happens. Sometimes they try to work the schedules out where they need to, or somebody needs to take a test. And there's a list of guys that get excused because of that, because they have to. Academics come first. So him not being there, curious, obviously. But at the same time, it could be multiple reasons. So that's why you have to wait and see. So you actually get the real story. You can speculate on it, but we aren't a message board. We're a radio station. And we actually put our names behind our work. Our number, 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. If you'd like to jump in, we'd love to hear from you. Get your thoughts and comments on the variety of things we've been talking about today. Kevin thinks quarterbacks should not slide.
I did not say that.
Kevin thinks it's okay if you throw your head into somebody else's head and you're not penalized, you shouldn't be fined.
I'm going back to the recording. I didn't say that either.
Sarah, how am I doing here? How close am I on this thing?
I'm sorry, Sarah's not able to comment right now.
Also, we found out today that chivalry is dead. Kevin sent me a text. Do I have to look at your text?
Well, you never look at the emails or anything else I send you. Why should this be different?
It's Sarah. There you go. Working from the floor.
I got a chair.
Naturally, you probably went out and got it yourself.
Correct.
It was not offered to you by the King of Siam there.
That sounded slightly insulting.
It was meant to be. Now, Sarah, I know you're used to this kind of treatment, okay, within the confines of her manner, okay? But that isn't you have to keep in mind, that isn't how it's supposed to go.
I've been working this way for 5.5 years, so
no,
I don't know anything different right now.
You should be offered a chair, and not only that, from now on this show, you're known as the princess. Queen, princess, whatever you prefer.
Hey, did you hear they're almost going to have a deal for the replacement officials to be done this week? Did you hear about that, Steve?
Your thoughts on that, Sarah, in terms of, you know, the treatment that you should receive without having somebody try to change topics?
I like it.
Figured you would like it. Now all we have to do is get Neanderthal man over there, the master of the orange shirt and orange tie, to change up.
And the report is that the agreement's almost done.
Doug Birdsong, considered to be class among many announcers across the country, Doug would have gotten you a chair.
No, wait a minute. Now, that's not true, that because she's the sideline reporter, so no. Dick. Sideline reporters don't get a chair.
Dick Hort would have gotten you a chair. I can tell you, no one's heard of Dave Ritchie, a man of great class and breeding, would have gotten you a chair. Our number is 1-800-795-9565, and as Kevin pointed out, the officials are getting close to an agreement. As I told you earlier, it's my understanding that there are a set of officials on the ground in Baltimore to work the Browns-Ravens game tomorrow night, if at all possible, if they can get an agreement. Dave in Sunbury, a master of chivalry, is now on the line. Dave?
Hi, Steve.
Hi, Dave.
Hey, is Kevin a politician?
I have been known to have a few stance, a political stance on things, but not a not being a politician. No.
Well, the old spin doctor's out, so.
I have been known to spin things quite well. Yes.
And then I showed up in this show, Dave, and now he feels absolutely inadequate when it comes to spin.
Well, I thought it was that chivalry was dormant, but no, I guess it is dead.
I mean, I was sent a text, a photo, evidence of poor Sarah having basically to work from the floor, pressing buttons and so forth while, I mean, I could see in the shadow in the background somebody's feet were up.
Well, I just caught the reference with the King of Siam.
He didn't like that at all.
Well, is he bald at any chance?
Do I what?
Is he bald at any chance?
Are you bald?
Am I bald?
Like Yul Brynner.
No, I'm not. I wish I was like Yul Brynner, I'll tell you that.
Why, you have his money, huh?
His money, his build, that would have been great.
It's a tough day when you have to admit you're 0 for 2. All right.
Well, like I said, he said about, you know, the officials, the replacements.
Yeah.
Now they need a replacement for announcers now, huh?
I hope not. I'm planning on working Saturday. So.
I'm not talking about him.
Oh.
Talk to you later.
All right, thanks, Dave. Our number 1-800-795-9565 in the Lumbee Solar Hotline. And yes, the officials are close to being back. Each side has had to give a little bit, which is what they needed to do. Here, of course, our negotiations deal with a chair. And I know there are plenty of chairs at Sunbury Broadcasting. I know what the setup is now. I know where you're sitting. So you can't pull the wool over my eyes on this. I mean, I know this is supposed to be a sports show. We've talked about some serious stuff this week. But now that chivalry has died before our listening ears. See, this goes back to when Barty had her birthday. Sarah, let me recall correctly, exactly what did Kevin get you for your birthday?
I wished her a very happy birthday.
Sarah?
I wished her Kevin a very happy birthday.
Sarah?
Wish me a very happy birthday on the air.
Oh, come on. That's it. Moving on.
Absolutely, because you have to remember that I did not know it was her birthday till that day. As opposed to you, who had lead time, could have gone out to the Dollar Tree like you usually do and picked out something really neat that was within your budget.
Dollar Tree, you give me too much credit.
Yeah, it's always a crusher for you when you have to pay tax. I know, it's really... what do you mean it's a dollar six?
It's a candy bar. That's food.
So, Sarah, you're going down to the game tomorrow night, all right? So I want to get a read from you. What are you looking for in tomorrow night's game? Because obviously you follow the Ravens all the time. They're 2-1. So what are you looking for in this game with Cleveland tomorrow night?
Well, I'm looking for the obvious win that will happen.
Right. I'll tell you right now, I think Flacco has improved dramatically. You now look at what he's done. The body of work has started to change for him. The last-minute drive for the touchdown with 8 seconds to go against the Steelers. The ill-fated drive against the Patriots where the ball was dropped in the end zone by Evans and then Billy Cundiff missed the field goal. Okay. But then he bounces right back in this game, and even though we can talk about whether Tucker's field goal is good or not, he's still down by 2 points, drives his team down the field with a series of key reads, key passes, and puts them in a position to win. We might be on the verge of changing the narrative of Joe Flacco right now. Now, is he Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Peyton, Eli Manning? No, not quite yet, because they've done it at the biggest moments on the biggest stage. Manning has made passes, Eli Manning has made passes in Super Bowls that are legendary, really. Pass to Manningham, the pass to David Tyree. We've seen what Drew Brees has done on the biggest stage in the Super Bowl. Aaron Rodgers almost single-handedly, offensively, beats the Steelers with a 334-yard passing performance on a day where Green Bay can't run the ball, while also winning three playoff games on the road. So, I mean, they have established themselves and carved out that special next-level niche. But Flacco is quickly moving himself to the head of the class in that next level, and that next level is a level that can win. Remember, Eli Manning was criticized last year in the preseason for saying that he's among the elite quarterbacks. He was criticized for saying that. Was anybody criticizing that statement in early February? Joe Flacco made that statement to receive criticism. Now the body of work is suggesting that maybe he understands who he is, and maybe we do not. Browns and Ravens tomorrow night, possibility of the full-time officials returning, the regular officials. Our number, 1-800-795-9565. We'll be back to find out whether Office Depot is going to sponsor Sarah's chair. And if they delivered it, whether Kevin would allow it to be assembled. As we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Welcome back. Great to have you with us. Penn State, of course, will play Saturday against Illinois, Memorial Stadium, Champaign. Took a long look at the tape of Illinois. It's interesting when you watch it. I'll start out with the parts that impress me. I think Josh Ferguson is very good at running routes out of the backfield, and he can be a dangerous receiver for Illinois out of the backfield. There's no question about that, that he can be that kind of player for them. Okay? But, and I think Donovan Young is not a bad tailback. John Davis, very good, by the way, as a tight end. They occasionally line him up at fullback. He wears number 3. But then I get to the wideouts. Ryan Langford, who's Paul Langford's son, Michael Irvin's his godfather, in fact, because Paul played for years with the Dolphins, is their best receiver without question. And after that, the drop-off is stark. Shielhouse does not look the same running. He has gained 150 yards rushing against Penn State the last 2 years combined. So he's been dangerous against Penn State, breaking contain or on natural quarterback draws. The ankle bothers him so much that he did not run a single quarterback draw against Louisiana Tech. And the only time he attempted a run was when he was flushed out of the pocket. He was caught from behind by a lineman. That's not the Nathan Shielhouse I know, and that's not the Nathan Shielhouse I've seen. Riley O'Toole, and Shielhouse is going to start, by the way. Riley O'Toole, though, I expect him to play. And especially if Illinois falls behind, I expect him to play. 6'4", 220, good arm, knows where to locate it for the most part. He's hitting 78% of his passes. But his stats are a bit skewed. You're talking about a quarterback with 300 who has thrown 6 touchdowns and 2 interceptions, but here's what's skewed. 333 yards and 5 of those touchdowns are against Charleston Southern, a glorified scrimmage. Now, does he have a pro look to him? Yes. Does he operate entirely out of the shotgun? Yes, he does not operate under center. And defensively, the shock is that Illinois was supposed to be really good with its front seven, and they have not been. Michael Buchanan, 99, who can operate either as a three-point stance or in a two-point stand-up stance, is still one of the better defensive ends in the Big Ten. So you have to watch for him. They'll have to do a good job on him. Glenn Foster and Akeem Spence have not played all that well at the tackle spots. And I know Matt Stankavage felt that Spence was maybe the toughest guy he faced all last year. So we'll see how that plays out in the matchup. And Whitney Merciless has been a very difficult guy for Illinois to replace. There has been a domino effect where other people have been expected to step up and do more with Merciless now playing in the NFL, and they have not. It's almost like they lived off the attention that he was getting, and it freed them up to do other things. Well, that hasn't panned out this way. Jonathan Brown, the weak side linebacker, is one of the better weak side linebackers of the Big Ten. But the other two linebackers, including in the middle, Manheim, have struggled a bit. And Houston Bates backing up Manheim is also struggled a little bit. The two safeties have struggled based on the tape I saw. Struggled a lot. Terry Hawthorne, though, is a very good player at that one corner. Very good. Justin Green's okay in the other corner. He and Jack Ramsey are okay over there. Hawthorne's really good. They will disguise their blitzes, and they'll try, you know, and that'll be one of the keys. Penn State's ability to pick it up, see it, get recognition of it, and then make plays against it. Kicking game for Illinois is good. Tyler Zaleski's taken over as the kickoff man. He's not bad on placements at all. Decent range. Duvenois, the punter, is averaging 43 yards a punt. Pretty good. And he's not getting kicking at 20 yards with 23 yards a roll either. He's averaging 43 a punt. But the odd thing about Illinois, it's the same thing as last year. Illinois is lousy on punt returns. You know, do you realize the leading punt returner for Illinois last year averaged 1.4 yards a return? 1.4? This year, it's better. It's like 4.5. I mean, they just, for whatever reason, don't get along a lot out of their punt return game. Now, the kick return game is a little bit different. Josh Ferguson, they put both he and Young back, but they really put Ferguson in the preferred spot. They want number six to handle the ball on kickoffs. And he's not bad on kickoff returns. And you have to have a feel for it, as we've seen with Jesse Della Valle. Jesse Della Valle was named Penn State's Special Teams Player of the Week by the coaching staff. Had a couple of really great returns, including that 24-yard return. And he really had a nifty return to set up the final sequence of the first half, where he brought the ball back to the 35-yard line to set up the offense. We'll talk more with Brian Barnhart, the play-by-play voice of Illinois football, tomorrow on the show and get his take on the game. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, Sarah is next with the news at the top of the hour following CBS.